Coming up on TMS, what did you order again?
Delta gets taken down by a tiny bird.
How many days at Chipotle can you handle?
How many cars can a kid steal?
They're not related. Screaming at robot presidents.
Lock him up! Making things with Bill and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Yes, the Humans Only movement is a recognized party, even though it's never managed to win an election or attract many adherents.
Gilbert!
What is it? What?
The robot right in the middle of getting breakfast, it exploded.
This is the Morning Stream. We're gonna need a new plan.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS, the first TMS of 2018.
That's right.
Woo-hoo!
The TMS by which all other 2018 TMSs shall be judged.
Oh, shit.
We're setting the bar right now today.
I don't need that kind of pressure, man. I don't know if I can handle it.
All right.
It's good to be here, though. Thank you, everybody, for coming back. It's January 2nd. We're not nearly that far ahead. It's 10:06 in the a.m. Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters. Everybody's clocks worked. There was no Y2K style bug for 2017. That's good.
Yep.
It all just flipped over and we had a gay old time. Hey, Brian, here on this first show after the holiday there.
Yes, sir.
We should discuss how that went, the holiday itself. So,
yeah.
You know, New Year's is a little different than Christmas or Thanksgiving or any of those. It's like a drinking man's holiday. It's when people get drunk, do fireworks, and watch
There's
a
so many
drop.
Drinking man's holidays. You know, I mean, really, when you look at it, St. Mm-hmm. Patrick's Day is a drinking holiday. New Year's Eve is a drinking holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Valentine's Day could be a drinking holiday.
Did you ingest many spirits over the holiday there?
I did, but I kept it under control. Mm-hmm. Probably the weirdest thing I drank. So it's always involved. It's always crazy neighbor.
Yeah.
Involvement. We did a rolling party this year where we started at Crazy Neighbor's house and then went across the street to Roger's house, our other neighbor, and then we went next door to Brittany and Patrick's house, and they're getting ready to have a baby any minute now. And then we came back over to my house,
yeah,
and rounded out the party. And
no Russians in this. You didn't stop by.
No
there?
Russians. No, okay. Too much hassle to invite them.
Okay. That's what I thought.
But at every house we had drinks and appetizers, and then ended with like dessert and stuff at our house. I made flatbread pizzas and jambalaya. Tina made jambalaya. I made the flatbread pizzas,
and then we had
a ton of cookies. I made like a crap ton of cookies, gingerbread, and regular chocolate chip. They were great.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah. Well, that's good. So where'd you end up at midnight? Like,
we were here at midnight.
Okay.
And we didn't see the Mariah Carey thing live. We were actually playing Fibbage 3, which is part of the newest Jackbox. I think they're on Jackbox 4 now. Mm-hmm. And
how is that?
Fantastic. Like, you know, you kind of think you know what you expect from Fibbage in Jackbox. This one adds a new a new playable version. Excuse me, where everybody creates or tells something about themselves, and then everybody else tries and comes up with a lie about it, and you guess which one's the real answer and which one's a lie. So it says, at the beginning of the game, it'll ask you what's something weird that you were afraid of as a kid.
Yeah,
and then it comes up, Brian was afraid of this as a kid, and it's like walking through puddles, Batman. Hair, stuff
right,
like that,
right.
And you have to guess what the real thing was that I was afraid of. It was really adds a new fun wrinkle to it.
Yeah, sounds all right. I love that game. I love that whole series is amazing. So
it's
always great. Pick that up.
It's always so well done.
Yeah.
But the weirdest thing I drank. So as part of this, the Patrick and Brittany brought over a bottle of a stout, an oatmeal stout beer called D's Nuts, and it's made with oatmeal stout, hazelnut, almond. I think there's, you know, a few nuts in there, and that's why they call it D's Nuts.
Okay. Oatmeal, like straight up the breakfast kind of oatmeal?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you're not drinking a beer that's just full of dry oatmeal. It's,
yeah.
You know, oatmeal was used in the flavoring process.
Oh, God. Oh, and right, so and a stout is a beer, right?
Stout is a beer,
okay,
exactly.
All right. That's what threw me off.
And so we were sampling some of that, and I thought it was, you know, pretty tasty, and Crazy Neighbor decided, hey, I bet this would be good mixed with champagne.
Of course. Of course he did.
Yeah, and here's the weird thing. Yeah. It was really good when you mix it with champagne.
Really?
Yes.
He has a taste
it's
for
so
that stuff.
So bizarre. Yeah. He's like the MacGyver of alcohol, basically. It's like, well, I think if we put this in here and put this in here, it'll allow us to get drunk a little bit quicker.
Yeah, he's the fermentation whisperer is what he is.
But it was actually, I hate to admit it, it was actually pretty good. But anyway, right. So ended up there at midnight, and then we went back over to Crazy Neighbor's house. Me and Patrick and Crazy Neighbor went there and played cards and gambled until about 3 in the morning.
Called
it a night.
Very nice. Did he? Who won? Who lost their shirt? How'd that go?
I came out about $7 ahead. Crazy Neighbor ended up losing about 12, 13 bucks, and so Patrick got the rest. So,
that's not bad.
Yeah, me and Patrick cleaned him out.
Yeah, what's your minimum min bet? And like, what's the ante?
It's a buck a game. Oh, okay. And it's, you know, it's basically you lay out a bunch of cards and then you just make up games. So it's like, all right, everybody draw a card and high card wins, right? That's your kind of bait. That's where everything starts.
Yeah.
And then it's lowest spade. And then you know, whoever has the lowest spade. And if nobody draws a spade, you throw in another dollar and keep gambling.
Yeah.
And then it kind of devolves into closest card to a six that's not a six, and if you draw a six, then you have to pay in the next round, but you can't win in the next round.
Wow.
And it just kind of devolves from there. Each game gets more and more ridiculous and complicated, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, as they get drunker, the weirder the game gets. Did Crazy Neighbor was he horking on a bong the whole time or no?
No, no. It was just just alcohol that night. Although he probably did sneak into another room and hork on a bong.
These aren't
do a little bong horking.
Bong horking, yeah. That's what you right. do. Well, all right. I just wondered how much secondhand you might have been getting over there.
Oh, no. He's really good about that. He's very respectful of Tina and I, the fact that we do not partake, and he won't smoke it right next to us or in the same room as us. He'll always go into another room if he's going to do that.
He's not about the contact high. He respects your space.
Exactly.
I get it. That's
exactly.
good.
He doesn't want us to come home smelling like that stuff and have Tristan get the wrong idea that, oh, maybe it's okay to do that. I guess that, you know, mom and dad have been telling me lies all these years. And
sure. Well, we had a similar night, except it was with neighbors that don't drink. Neither do we. So we just chilled, had fun, ate food. Kim made some fancy cheese things and, you know, that kind of stuff. But before that, like at 8 o'clock that night, Kim and I had reservations at this place called The Wild Rose.
The Wild Rose.
Which sounds like a whorehouse, but whatever.
It does sound like a whorehouse. It sounds like you'll reach, you know, you'll bend over to get a drink of water and Nick Cave will bash your head in with a rock. That's what it
sounds like. Yeah, kind of does. You're not wrong. The actual place, though, super fancy, nice, restaurant-y place. The kind of place you don't want to go all the time because it's expensive, but... You know, we thought New Year's Eve, you know, it's one of the few places open anyway, or, you know, this kind of place. And it's like really fancy chef food, you know, it's a place like that.
Nice.
And so we went there and I was going to get the tenderloin. She was going to get some trout thing that was supposed to be amazing. Anyway, we had all these plans to do this. We had reservations. We get there. We were a little early. They sat us early. So far, so good. Everything's great. Yeah. They plop us down. It's mostly some really old people in the area we're at for some reason, but that's fine. We felt youthful and whatever. And but then things started to get a little bit weird. Our waitress brought us menus.
Okay.
Our server, I guess they don't like to be called waitresses anymore, right? Isn't that
right,
the deal?
Right. Okay. Even though server sounds worse, in my opinion, but whatever.
I agree. That's the one like politically correct switcheroo that I don't think actually serves it very well.
Yeah.
You know, servant. Versus a waiter. I don't know. I feel like I'd rather be waited on than served.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yes.
But anyway, she comes with menus, puts them down. Very nice. She compliments Kim on her weird hair and says, oh, I love your hair. And she says, oh, I like yours too. And there's this whole interchange. So far, so good. No problems. She leaves. She comes back with two new menus. Mm-hmm. And she goes, oh, I've got your menus here. And we went... I'm literally holding a menu. I've got it like
right,
in front
exactly.
of me.
Or those, is there something on there that's not on here?
Yeah. So I'm looking at this menu and she says, oh, I brought your menus. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Oh, it's such a crazy night. No. And I'm like, whatever. People are having funny nights. She took off. She comes back. She says, you guys ready to order? We said, yeah, we want the sous vide.
Comes back. Here's your food. 2 points.
Well, it kind of starts to go this way. So,
oh, God, okay.
So she comes back. She says, are you ready to order? We said, yeah. So we get this sous vide made lobster tail starter thing that was super good.
Nice. Oh, was it like a prefix menu where you basically said you pay a fixed price and then they just keep bringing you?
No. I wish that would have been. Oh, I would love that. No, this was like this was like an order thing, and then they bring in the thing and whatever. So we said we want that plus like these amazing bread things and this like homemade butter stuff that I'm sure was bad for me, but it was really good. And so we're sort of gnawing on that, and she says, okay, well, I'm going to bring that to you. So, okay, great. And then we ordered our regular food. She says, all right, we'll be right back. She goes, you guys want anything to drink outside of the water? And Kim's like, ah, water's fine. I said, you know what I'm looking forward to? I want a good cranberry juice. That'd be great.
Okay.
So she leaves and comes back later and says, I'm so sorry. Can you remind me what you ordered again? And I went, oh my gosh. And so we told her everything we ordered again.
Right. Oh my God.
And then she said, okay, cool. Then she came back later and said, oh shoot, I don't remember which of the salads you guys wanted, the house one or the, like she could not remember anything.
See, there's a point at which this whole like trend of, I'm not going to write down your order because I don't even know why they stopped doing that. Did they feel like it was too impersonal, or is it just kind of show off that they have a great memory? Whatever the reason, it's unnecessary.
It's impractical.
Feel free to write something down. Exactly.
I completely agree, Brian. Until human brains have the ability to have a little container of information that's like visible out in front of their forehead where I can see it, don't do it. It's dumb. It sucks.
Exactly. So there's no benefit.
So while she's gone, I hear a crash. And I look over toward where it is, and it's her. She has dropped somebody's drink someplace.
Oh,
so I'm starting to think maybe she's having a rough night. Having a rough night. And we're so easy. We're not going to give her a hard time
course,
at all.
Yeah.
Like, not even at all. And I already know the food's going to be amazing. We've been there before. As this is happening, our candle burns out. So everyone's got a candle. And our candle goes, our candle just goes, poof, it's just out.
Wow.
And I went,
kind of a visual representation of the evening, pretty much.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, man.
Or of your server, actually.
Yeah, that's kind of a bummer. Oh, well. Now, the candle's going to come back into the story in a second in a way that's pretty funny. But we're just like, what do we care? It's just a candle. She'll probably relight it. Who knows? She comes back. She brings the salads and the sous vide thing, and that was all great. And she says, I am so sorry. Can you remind me what you wanted to drink again?
Oh, my God. Okay.
And I go, a cranberry juice. She goes, oh, right, the cranberry juice. Right. I remember being surprised because it's New Year's Eve and you ordered a cranberry juice. I'm like, what is that? Some kind of slight because I'm not boozing it up in this place?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
But she said it with such a smile that I didn't take it as anything mean or anything.
Oh, no, I wouldn't. I mean, just she probably is used to everybody like, yeah, keep bringing me Long Island iced teas until I fall over and then slow down and bring them half as fast.
Like the jackass behind me, there was a table next to us where this guy was just the most snooty butthole. He just the whole time was going, well, the wine I tasted when I was spending time in Fresno reminded me of the jibber-gibber guy. He's just the most uppity, freaking shitty mustache guy ever. Anyway, whatever. I didn't have to listen to him very long. She brings out the food, and it's great. Oh, my gosh. So amazing. Food's amazing.
I'm looking at the menu right now.
It's incredible.
Awesome.
It's incredible.
What'd you have? I'm looking.
I had the tenderloin thing. It was so good. Tenderloin's got like a little chocolate in it. Oh, it's so good. I don't even know why that's in there, but it's amazing. It's got like chocolate on it. Isn't that weird? Like not a ton, but just like it's part of the braising.
Reduction with a hint of dark chocolate and a sliver of artisan blue cheese served with creamy mashed potatoes.
That's the one. It's heavenly. So good. And it's just I always get the tenderloins. I like a little fat. I like a little ribbon in there. And so good. Anyway, Kim got the special trout thing, and that was also fantastic. So the food is amazing. We're eating it, and we're just like, this is great, and we're enjoying ourselves. And as she drops the food off, she pauses for a second, looks at her candle, and goes, oh, didn't like the candle, huh? And then walked away. So she thinks I blew it out!
Like out of sheer anger or something.
Yeah, like I'm pissed. Stupid candle. I can't have candles in my life. And I blew it out, right?
Didn't so, light the candle, sir. Okay.
So there's one other thing that ends up happening, and the service has been exemplary outside of just her being a little absent-minded.
Yeah.
And all the people that are kind of following up with water refills and just making sure everything's okay, they're all just bustling around doing great. They're just great there. Mm-hmm. And toward the end of the evening, she says, now we'll be having, is there anything else you guys need before you go? Dessert or anything? I'm like, oh, we're stuffed. We're good. And she says, do you want another cranberry juice? And I said, no, I'm fine. I'll just have water. And she says, well, someone's got to drive. Someone's got to drive home. Or something like that. Like, all right. Now you're just dorking with me. Now you're just dinking with
me. Even though she knows Kim has just been having water, so it's not like, you know, you guys are like, well, I'm glad somebody at the table is taking it easy.
Yeah, it was really funny. And we've been there. Yeah. We've done this like 3 times at New Year's Eve at this place, and it's always a delightful time. But I feel like...
She's just trying to make conversation. I think that that's just like a... I got nothing else to say. I can't think of anything to say about cranberry juice. Well, you know, somebody's got to drive home.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But anyway, went fine. And then went back to the house, met up with these guys, had a great time there. Ended up being up too late talking about political crap. And then it's like 2:00 in the morning. We were done. We were like, let's go to bed. We're done. And the next day, because we had a big luncheon thing planned with her family the next day, like yesterday. So we had to do that. And that was fine, except the place we picked was closed because it's freaking New Year's Day. Like, duh. But they had this pizza place that was open, and it was fantastic. It's another thing I would recommend, and I can't remember the name of it. Port something pizza. Port. Hold on. I'm going to recommend this place, like, highly.
Really? Okay.
Point, something with an M. Pizza. Port something
port
with an M.
Mackinac pizza.
Port, no, not Papa Murphy's. Pizza Port, nope. Port Ocean?
Port Murphy's.
Port Murphy's. He's not there anymore. Did you hear the Papa Murphy guy left? He's out.
Did he?
Yeah, because he was a jackass.
Peyton Manning still partially own it?
Oh, I don't know about that. I didn't know he did.
I think he bought part of the Papa Murphy's deal.
Let's see. Utah. Marco's.
Dr. Gus's Portmanteau Pizza?
No. No, it's none of those things, but it's something with an M, I want to say. It sounds very Maine, like East Coast name, something. Anyway, whatever.
Awesome.
So, it was definitely not Papa John's. Papa John's, Papa Murphy's, I always get them mixed up. Papa John, that guy left because he was
Papa John. Right, that's it. Yeah, Papa John and Peyton Manning, I thought, were...
Yeah, Papa John, he was the one that claimed that all the pizza business had gone way down because people were kneeling during the national anthem or some shit. And
it was really?
Some jackass thing. Plus, I guess in the past, he's always been kind of a wiener. So anyway, he stepped down. He's no longer the CEO of the company he founded that is named after him. Now, Murphy, I don't know what Murphy's up to. What's Murphy doing? I don't know.
Mr. Murphy, he's stepping away from the pizza.
Please step away from the pepperoni.
Please don't turn on the oven. We don't have one.
Oh, that's right, because you take it home and cook it yourself.
You take it home and bake it. Yep, exactly.
But Papa John's, they do it there, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and Papa John's is just like any other pizza place where you know.
I feel like I like Murphy's. I feel like I like Murphy's.
Murphy's is good because, number one, it's inexpensive, right? Yeah. I don't know why cooking a pizza adds so much overhead to the cost, but... the fact that you can take that pizza home and then put like a bunch of good toppings on there, right?
Yeah.
Just get the little cheap $5 whatever pizza, take it home, load it with your own toppings, and then put it in the oven, and boom, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah. Sorry, I was looking at this guy. Apparently, he's known for he got drunk and hit somebody.
What? Oh, what? What, Papa John?
Something about that. I'm trying to find it here.
Wow.
Hurting pizza sales. Papa John's a jerk. Sleazy CEO. Huh. I don't know enough about him.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've really... I mean, I've had decent pizza there. It's been fine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the best pizza. But the place I went to was so good, and I can't remember the name of it. So I apologize to everybody out there who doesn't know what I'm talking about. But I'll find it, and then I'll recommend it to Utahns, because it's really good.
Cool. Yeah,
really good.
Want to hear about it.
All right, you saw a movie I want to see so bad, and if
yes.
you tell me it's great, I'm going maybe tonight to like a $5 showing or something. How is The Shape of Water?
The Shape of Water is Guillermo del Toro. It's really good. It is really good, and it is worth seeing. Basically, now is the time. Now is the time of this year that Tina and I try to hit all the movies that we think are going to be Oscar contenders. And that's exactly what this was. I mean, there's a lot of pre-Oscar buzz about The Shape of Water and Dunkirk and Get Out, which we've already seen those two. It's really good. It's funny. Did you ever see that Colossal movie with Anne Hathaway?
Yeah. The one you recommended on Recommendals once.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's,
I did.
It's got that kind of vibe to it, which I really, really like.
I like that movie, where, too. I thought that was good.
Yeah, and this one kind of has that same thing, where the thing that you think would be the most surprising aspect of the movie, which is that there's this, you know, this sea creature humanoid thing, Doug Jones walking around in a rubber suit, you'd think that that would be kind of the focus, but obviously, you know, this is a Guillermo del Toro movie, so it's not, the focus isn't on, hey, there's a creature, oh my God, let's talk about the creature. The focus of the movie is the relationship between said creature and one of the cleaning ladies in the facility that he's being kept in.
Yeah.
And Michael Shannon is fantastic. Octavia Spencer is great in this.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really, really good cast. And you've even got dude from Justified, the Raylan Givens boss.
Oh, the one that's such a jerk in real life. But
in real life is such a jerk, but yeah, exactly. But if we could just really focus good. If we could just pretend that he's like the characters he plays, then it's much better. He doesn't do any fat shaming.
Oh, good, film. good. No, that guy's an a-hole, but I love his roles. He's always so good in it. So I heard they made this movie, Del Toro made this movie for less than $20 million total.
Oh, wow,
which
really?
Is really crazy to hear that. First of all, not that Michael Shannon's like, you know, he's not A-list per se, but no. I feel like you'd pay him a chunk of that.
He's coming up. I mean, Octavia Spencer is getting there too. I mean, she's had some nominations. She was in that Hidden Figures last year.
Yeah, she's great. I like her a lot. I like everybody. I want this movie in my life. Now, the guy inside the tank there, that's the guy from Star Trek, right? The big tall weirdo.
Doug Jones. Yep. Not the Alabama senator.
No,
Doug
not
Jones.
The not the one that won, even though people say he didn't. But the other, right, exactly. But the other guy, right? And I assume he's great as always because
he's great as always. I mean, he doesn't. He's one of those people that has to basically do a lot of acting without saying anything.
Yeah.
And so he does great. And yeah, Abe Sapien. Yes, he also plays Abe.
Yeah, he's Abe Sapien. And some people have said this is like Beauty and the Beast. It's like a take on Beauty and the Beast that's just like a different kind of take. Is that true?
It is. Yeah.
I want to see it.
Kind of. I mean, there's... Yeah, I don't want to give anything away. So I'll say that there's aspects of a Beauty and the Beast kind of thing going on.
All right. Does a mute lady do it with a fish man? That's my question. You don't want to spoil it? Okay.
I don't want to spoil it, but I will say this. You may not want to take the kids to this movie.
Well, it's R for a reason, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple. There's nudity. Yeah. Plenty of it. And surprising amount of nudity for a film like this. And some situations that you would, you know, not expect from something like this. So I'm not saying anything further than that. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But you may not want to. You may feel awkward taking Nick or Carter to see this.
Yeah. I was actually looking for it here. Yeah, I can't find the kids in my... Oh, there it is. Okay. Shape of Water. Yeah, they gave it an 8 for nudity and sex. Jeez, that's out of 10. Yeah. That's pretty high.
That's pretty high. And Socofablab.
Oh, yeah. Socofablab.
Yes, in the chat room there. I never said violence is okay and nudity isn't. I mean, if I'm going to watch a movie, whatever it is, whether it's violence or nudity, it better be pertinent to the film. I think in this case, it is pertinent to the film. It does set up the characters.
Right.
But I never said the nudity wasn't okay.
No, listen, totally fine. People that jump on that, oh, what you're saying, it's okay to kill 50 dudes on screen, but you can't have a boobie? Listen, I got something to say about that. Y'all haven't been a parent then. When you are one, then come talk to me, because here's how it works. A, I don't want my kids seeing people killed indiscriminately, okay? I don't want that. But also when they're young and they're like 8 years old, I am not taking them to a movie where there's some lady with her freaking vajayjay and her boobies in their face. or a dude with his wiener flapping around. I am sorry, but that is not the time. It just freaking isn't. So stop it with that damn argument. I hate it. Exactly. I hate it. It's the worst.
George Carlin said it best, something that I'd rather, you know, take my kids to see a movie that features two people making love than two people trying to kill each other, but I don't think I'd want to take them to either.
Yeah. You just don't take them to either one.
Take them to either one.
Save it for when they're old enough to get it and understand it. It's not that it's not that hard to understand. When you're a parent, you'll get it. But anytime you're not one, I got no time for that, man. I can't have that conversation with people. Or like some dude, bro, who's 25, sitting in his apartment for trying to get his, you know, he's going to film school, going, right. Yeah, I don't know what the problem is. You'd let your kid watch a bunch of orcs die at the hands of the Rohan riders, but you're not willing to have them see a little lovemaking? Like, no, dude, you just get some growing up done. I'm not saying that about this person in the chat. I'm just saying.
Of course.
Just, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Rainbow Bright,
you,
my dad's.
You Americans are all really pent up about nudity.
Whatever. Yeah. Sure.
When someone says to me, you're too pent up about nudity, it's their porn collection I want to see the most. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, there's that. Yeah, I'm going to go see that. I really want that movie in my life, so check it out.
You'll really enjoy it, for sure.
I like me some Del Toro. I like raw Del Toro that isn't commercial Del Toro. I like when he gets to do stuff that he wants to do. I never saw his Haunted House thing that came out last year. Did you ever see that, whatever that was?
No.
With Loki was in it and stuff?
Yes, I did not see that. Nor did I see the... there was a Shyamalan movie that came out this last year. About going to grandma's house, I think, or maybe it was 2 years ago.
Oh, right. Yeah, the crazy grandparents one thing.
Yep.
Or something. I don't know actually how that movie went, but I remember hearing about it. There's a few of those I missed. I'll probably catch up at some point. And yes, Chad, that was my first true rant of 2018. Thank you very much.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you very much. Also, Captain Kipper is right. Troll Hunters is really good. That's a Del Toro production, and it's an animated thing on Netflix, and it's fantastic. Okay.
Okay.
Let's dive in to the next portion of things, which, as it turns out, is this. It's the news brought to you by.
Brought to you by A Whole Pizza. I'm guessing this is going to have to do with that place you recommend.
Yeah, I may have screwed up and eaten A Whole Pizza. It was really good, and it wasn't that big of one. It was probably 12 inches or something, 13. It's not huge. But it was big enough, and it was stacked pretty high, and it was fantastic, though, and I couldn't stop. Because those people were really nice. They're like, is this your first time here? We're like, yep. Oh, we're going to give you something cool then, and they gave us a bunch of free stuff, and we just overdid it.
Well, that's nice. Jeez, that's really nice.
But it was only the first, so I'm not counting it against my goals this year. I still think of it as a holiday, you know, overeating, and I'll catch up. It'll be fine, everybody. It'll be fine. All right, well, let's take a look at what's happened in the world since we last spoke.
What?
Well,
4 days off.
Actually, I have a rant that's just at the surface that I'm trying to abstain from yelling about. Should I bring this up?
Oh, God, really? Wow. Yeah,
I'm really annoyed by it. And I don't think this is political. So if you think what I'm about to say is political, I don't know what to do for you.
Oh man, we're already here. Okay, all right. I'm tucked in. All right, let's do it.
For the first time in a long time, or maybe ever, 2017 featured no aviation deaths, aviation related, right. Commercial flight aviation deaths.
I think there was one deadly crash, but I did see this on the news this morning as well. That it was like the lowest ever, the lowest.
Yeah, but I think for commercial flights.
Oh, right. Yes.
There was none. And it's actually part of a trend, like for 6-7 years, it's like the lowest trend ever or something. But I heard that news and went, oh, that's awesome, man. That speaks volumes about about aviation professionals, including pilots and, you know, people are in charge of maintenance and engineers and everybody else. And those who are making the planes are making better planes than ever. And we're maintaining them better. Like, that's a good sign. It's a good thing. And I just thought, that's great. And I went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up today to see our commander-in-chief taking credit for that.
He says, I've been really hard on aviation, this and that, and I am happy to report that this 2017 only had no death. It was the first time ever, best ever, whatever. He took credit for it. He took credit for it. Now, I know he does that all the time, and you're like, Scott, he does this all the time. I know. But this one really got into my cheese a little bit. And I think it's because it's so stupid. It's like the most arbitrary thing you could do. I could take, I mean, here, let me take credit for something.
Well, it's like you taking credit for the lack of deadly airplane crashes.
It's just as good as if I did, right?
Yeah.
You may as well have done it.
Exactly.
You and I could have jointly come out and said in a joint statement, Brian and Scott are responsible for the lack of deadly commercial airline crashes this year. And it would have been just as valid had we said it.
Yeah.
It's horse shit. And it pisses me off. All right, that's all I had to say about that.
Let's talk about this flight.
Yeah, let's see. This one's interesting. So a small bird managed to take over a Delta flight. I'll tell you more. On a late Saturday morning, a bird flew out of the cold Detroit sky across an airfield and directly into the cockpit of a jetliner bound for Atlanta. The lost city of Atlanta. Some people...
This begins very, very florally, right? Like, it's very poetic.
Oh, very. So much. Some believe it was a sparrow, some a hummingbird. A Delta Airlines spokesman referred to it only as a stowaway.
Mm.
And in any case, it would be a long delay before anyone on flight 1943, could catch the thing to get a look at it. Shane Perry, a minister with a connection and a speech to make, was waiting to board when he saw the pilot walk off the jet bridge and whisper something to the ticket agent. He said, my 18 years of doing this, this is the first time I've ever seen this. There's a bird in the cockpit. The ticket agent laughed at this. It seemed funny to Perry, too. At that point, anyway, he boarded the plane with the other passengers and watched as yellow-vested workers rummaged through the cockpit. They didn't find the bird in the first few minutes or the next few. The pilot stood in the aisle, hands in pockets, watched like everyone else.
it's so written like it's a John Grisham novel or something.
Totally is. An hour later, Perry was sitting in the grounded airplane watching the winter birds flit around outside his window while the stowaway stayed hidden in the cockpit.
And then Samuel L. Jackson stood up and said,
we get rid of the mother effing birds. It says an hour later, still sitting on the grounded airplane. They haven't been able to move. So this thing's delayed an hour already. Right. Watching winter birds flit around outside his window while the stowaway stayed hidden, he says. There was some talk that morning of moving everyone to a different plane, but eventually the pilot's voice came over the intercom and announced that the bird must have left. So it was only in there for a minute, and then it took off. Anyway, that's your story. It is very poetic. That's awesome. The reason I picked it. I thought it sounded very, I don't know, something about it.
Very sweet.
Yeah, I like very it. Sweet. Little bird. Yeah. Humans can only do so much, and then birds can come jack it all up, man.
Oh, well, okay. Well, no, they thought it was gone, and then they found it. Like, it started flying around again halfway to Georgia. When they were on flying around. So they had to return. They had to fly back to...
I missed that bit.
Yes. I know, because there's 20 paragraphs of setup in this stupid article. Golly.
They really went overboard.
And then finally, it said the DJ Buonasisi thinks the bird, like everyone on the flight, made it halfway to Georgia before the plane turned back. A flight tracker shows the plane made a big loop around Detroit and landed back where it started shortly after noon.
Well, I'd be pissed if I was a passenger. I'd be like, come on, you guys. It's just a bird. It's just a bird. I'm just a bird. Right? What's it going to do?
A worker came out of the cockpit. In his arms was a towel. In the towel was a very small bird that had managed to ground a 55-ton flying machine.
This guy's writing for the wrong... Right. He needs to write for Reader's Digest or something.
Exactly. He's writing for the wrong thing. Avi Selk, maybe the Washington Post isn't the right thing for you. Maybe you need to, work on your great American novel. Work on your big, your big fictional masterpiece.
Yeah, you're just slumming it there at the WAPO.
The WAPO. Exactly.
The WAPO. All right. Well, here's a story that's less flowery. An Ohio man sets a record for the most consecutive days eating at Chipotle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
didn't realize this was didn't realize that Guinness tracked this.
Yeah, turns out, well, they still don't. But this is a record to some. Not all heroes wear capes. Uh-oh, this one's starting similar to that last one.
Oh, my God. Avi Selk, are you writing this one, too?
It's a 2018 trend. Everybody's going to be flowery with their stupid opening paragraphs. Anyway, it says, but as it turns out, this one sometimes does. Chipotle Mexican Grill recognized one of its biggest fans, a Tiffin, Ohio man named Bruce Wayne.
I'm Fat Man.
Fat Man.
I have some more guac. I need more guacamole.
That's really funny. You spent the last 426 days enjoying at least one entree per day from the local Chipotle. Chipotle commemorated this milestone by presenting Wayne with a custom-made Chipotle superhero cape and cufflinks made all from tortillas. No.
Black beans.
Yeah, black beans. Black bean cape. Nod to his love of both Batman and burritos. Oh, how could your name be Bruce Wayne and you still love Batman, though? I don't know if I buy
that. Well, unless maybe he changed his name to Bruce Wayne.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
They don't say that in this article. Such a Batman fan that's true. I didn't think of that. It says, Wayne began his self-started challenge on October 30th after learning Chipotle's plans to open a brand new location in Tiffin. He conducted research about Chipotle and learned about a fellow fan who had ultimately consumed Chipotle 425 days and maintained his fitness goals regardless. Wayne then set out to become the new record holder. Here's a quote. Day after day, we were committed to serving our customers the most delicious real ingredients we can find, and it's great to see a customer like Bruce Wayne is as committed to us as we are to him, says Chris Arnold, communications director at Chipotle. While this might not be everybody's New Year's resolution in 2018, it certainly shows that our menu of real and fresh ingredients offers something for everyone, even superheroes.
These may not be the farts that Gotham wants, but they are the farts that Gotham needs.
The farts that Gotham gets if they eat
that. Shall I open a window, Mr. Wayne?
Yeah, Mr. Wayne. I don't mean to, Mr. Wayne. all right. Well, there's that story. It's a good time, right? I've eaten at Chipotle once in my life because we just don't have local. We don't have a lot of close ones, so I just don't go there.
Mm, it's good.
I'm sure I would. You know.
Yeah, we've got a Chipotle that's 2 blocks away from our house. So if we're going to do that sort of thing, we'll hit the Qdoba. But I'd say we even don't do that more than maybe twice a month. Maybe.
Do you guys have? What's it called? You guys don't have Cafe Rio, right?
We just got some Cafe Rios.
Oh, okay. They're a Utah-born thing that are spreading. They're starting to go viral and go out. But we used to eat there all the time and loved it. They have these salads that they're kind of famous for, and it was incredible until 2005 when the entire family got food poisoning.
Oh, no, from a Cafe Rio?
And that was the last time I barfed. It was 2005.
We also just got Costa Vita.
Costa Vita is also good. We like them.
Yeah, I like Costa Vita.
Yeah, Costa Vita may be my better. That's the one I'll pick if I have a choice. Mm-hmm.
That one's really far though. That one's like a, you know.
Now the story. The story is that Costa Vita. Well, okay. So there used to be a couple, a Mexican American couple, who here in Utah were married and ran Cafe Rio. Then there was an ugly divorce, which often happens when giant money is involved. Right. There was a divorce, and I think she ran off and started Costa Vita.
Oh, really?
So okay. I think that they're competitors now, and they have similar menus, but I'm pretty sure they were a divorced couple. I could have that wrong.
Interesting. Well, that would make sense because they're very similar in style. So
yeah,
I could kind of see that. Yeah. Interesting, though, that they come from kind of the same...
Yeah,
sprouted from the same deal.
It was all very controversial out here at the time.
Yeah,
because you know people like a good dust up. anyway, that's my point here. What was my point? Oh yeah, so this. We're moving to the next story. 7-year-old stole a car. Nope, more than that. Seven-year-old stole 4 cars in a week.
Oh my gosh.
This is according to his mother. Mother of a 7-year-old who wrecked a stolen car last week says this is not the first time her son has gotten behind the wheel.
Now that's how you open a That's how you open an article. Not, you know, little boys get into trouble all the time. I remember when I was a little boy, I'd run around the street and shoot my slingshot at the birds and stuff. But yeah. I never got into the kind of trouble that little Cindy Parkhouse's son got into.
Yep. I like that you said and stuff. That's pretty good.
And stuff. Yeah, yeah, well, I, you know.
Some good writing.
I'd edit that, but, you know.
That's sure, that's fine. 7-year-old Chance is his name. Stole 4 cars in the last week. And he's a little bruised up, a little sore after this last wreck.
Wow.
Yeah. He's into it, dude. He's like, it's his new business. Police said that he's lucky to be alive after he drove a stolen car more than 100 miles per hour, ran off the road, and flipped the vehicle 3 times, all while not wearing a seatbelt.
Jeez.
Would it have mattered if you're 7 and you're wearing a seatbelt, though? Because they don't really hold you in if you're that young, do they? Not in the front seats.
Well, imagine. I mean, I don't think you'd be able to push the pedals down if you're 7 and you have your seatbelt on, because I think you'll be... I can't imagine that the wheel, that the pedals are close enough to the...
Yeah, you'd have to like... you'd have to have one of those special cars for like the little people on the TLC to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, wow. So this happened. Enola police said Chance's dad dropped him off at a friend's house. Said while he was there, Chance took off in the homeowner's Chevy Cruze. That's a big car.
It is a big car.
let's see. She says, that is not the Chance that I raised. She said, I don't like the name Chance.
I know a guy named Chance. He's cool. And actually, I know 2 people named Chance, because there's the musician, not the rapper, but the singer Chance in the Choir, who performed at that thing I did in Vegas years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really cool, and his name is Chance. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I do like the name Chance.
What is Chance? Can Chance be used as a verb? It can't, can it? It's always a... It's a thing, not a thing you can do.
Feels like you could use. Feels like I've heard it used as a verb. Like, I could chance to go for some.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Chipotle
yeah.
today.
Yeah. Before I chance you a question. Yeah, I could hear. Okay, maybe it does work.
Yeah.
So when you chance the rapper, you might be doing something to him.
You're doing something exactly. I could chance the rapper today.
Rick Fu in the chat says, "Bad news, lady. You raised it." sees. I know that he did this. He chose to pick up keys. However, he wouldn't have had the right parental guidance, or if he wouldn't have had the right parental guidance, he shouldn't have been able to get those keys. What? I know that he did this. He chose to pick those keys up. However, if he would have had the right parental guidance, he should not have been able to get those keys.
Yeah, she changed. She changed from would have to should.
Yeah, she's not good at this.
If he would have had the right parental guidance, he would not have been able to get those keys. Would be the right way to say it. Instead of he should not have been able to. I don't know.
Okay,
but still, it seems awkward.
She's calling herself out. She then says Chance needs parental guidance, and he doesn't have it right now. He is like a 7-year-old on his own. Well, then be his parent.
Exactly. Maybe not take him to the dad.
Yeah, maybe that wouldn't happen. Cindy said she lost custody of her son several years ago and has been fighting ever since to get him back.
She is trying to get her son back. So this is going to be good ammunition for her side.
It actually will be. Yeah, if the dad's just letting the kid drive 4 cars.
Exactly. Totally.
Oh my gosh, 4 freaking cars. That's crazy.
Wow.
All right. Now here's my favorite story of the day. I've just been waiting to get to this one. A random Walt Disney World guest interrupted the Hall of Presidents show. I didn't know they did that in World. I thought it was just land, but I guess they do in both.
No, they have in both places.
Yeah. Do they have in like Japan and France and stuff too?
Oh, I didn't see. You know, that would have been really cool to see if they had one at Disney World in Japan or Disney Japan.
Pretty sure Jury was there yesterday. When he's on again, we'll have to ask him if he saw.
Oh, good. Did he go? So he did go to Disney?
He did, and he ended up in a restaurant, I guess, or a lounge of some sort that was super busy, and so he didn't wait to get into it. But it's one dedicated entirely to Teddy Roosevelt. So,
okay,
it's entirely possible that Disney Asia or Disney Japan has something like that.
Very funny.
But anyway, this is pretty great. Time, as they say, makes fools of us all. Here's another one of these essays. others might say so too does an animatronic facsimile of the 45th president of the United States. Actually, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. Had Nixon stayed in, Oh no, he's still the number, right? Hold on.
Yeah, they wouldn't count if you do two 10 years. You don't. They don't up your number. You're still the.
But isn't because like Johnson as well? Isn't because they came in kind of accidentally that bumped the number up artificially? Doesn't it?
He still was a president, so they up it. He was, you know, our 40th president.
Well, no, like you're totally right. But I'm just saying, had it been normal, let's just say they would have had a normal presidency.
Right.
I wonder how many of those, including who was it, Taft or whoever died in office, just of a heart attack or something. Mm-hmm. One of the fat ones. I don't remember what happened there. but there's like two or three of these where if you said, oh well, if that had just gone their full terms,
right,
and you didn't have VP stepping in to take over, we would only be at like 39 or 41 or something.
Sure, that would make sense. Yeah, if we didn't have, because I mean, basically, that just would have taken a handful of those presidents out of the lineup.
Right, out of the loop, as they say.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, this random.
By the way, did get corrected. Only Lincoln is at, or Disneyland is Lincoln only, not the full Hall of Presidents. Which is funny because in the last 16 months, I've seen that stupid Lincoln thing twice. Not willingly.
Really? You've seen it twice?
Yeah.
Wait,
the first time going is like, okay, that's really cool. Oh, the animatronics are really, really cool.
Yeah.
But then we went as part of the tour that we took in September, and that they made us go through it again. I'm like, oh, man, I just saw this in November the year before.
Yeah. Old Uncle Walt really liked that thing. He was into it.
He really did. He was, well, and be super proud of it because it was super cool. I mean, the movements and stuff, they've updated it, obviously, to be more lifelike and have more sweeping movements. And I don't think Lincoln got out of his chair back in the Walt Disney days.
No, he sat there and it was very Chuck E. Cheese, just very...
Yeah, exactly. Five nights at Mr. Lincoln's.
I love it. But, well, anyway, Wednesday, actor and comedian Jay Malski shared a video of his recent visit to Walt Disney World in Florida, where he attended the theme park's Hall of Presidents attraction featuring a newly installed robot, Donald Trump, reasoning that he'd never get this close to real life in real life.
Probably. I'd never get this close in real life, probably, but he shortens it to probs.
Oh, I would have said that's short for problems, but whatever.
Yeah,
With a tweet with the video, he says he took the opportunity to protest Robo-Trump's pre-recorded speech with a prolonged lock him up chant, much to the chagrin of his fellow parkgoers. First of all, kudos to the guy for keeping the chant going as long as he did. That shit seemed exhausting, says the article. Now, I don't have a great video, but I have some audio-ish.
Yeah, the video is horrible. The video is taken with the super shaky cam.
Yeah, by a phone.
Because it's him taking it himself.
Yeah.
Richard M. Nixon.
Hold on.
Gerald R. Ford.
Okay.
I, Donald Johnson.
Lock him up! Lock him up!
It's so funny. And what's funny is like, all right, he, you know, two or three times I think would have been enough. But you listen to this video and he seems to just go on forever. And the people inside there are like, shut up.
Yeah, it's
you
like
have to ruin it for the rest of us.
It's like
shut
a minute 15 of him yelling that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
It's a little far.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I wish, you know what I would have done? I would have run up there and I would have run up there and tackled the robot. Just if you're going to go all in, just go all the way.
Well, it's funny you say that because prior to them adding the Trump animatronic, they didn't have spikes on the little shelf that goes in front of the stage.
Yeah.
But since they added Trump, they've actually added these things that are decorative looking. They're sharp. And so if you try and get over to punch the animatronic Donald Trump in the face, like Clark Griswold does to Wally at the entrance of Wally World.
Yeah, yeah. It's super dumb. I mean, personally, I wouldn't have done it just because I wouldn't want to irritate everybody in the place.
Yeah,
because who cares? But also, he's a comedian. He thinks he's being funny.
And
he's
exactly.
It's not that funny. Anyway, there's that. Hey, break time. We're going to take one. When we come back, we'll make some things with Bill. No Jerry today. He's in Japan. But we do have this fantastic mashup at the end of the show today.
Yay!
Jamie working overtime on this stuff. I don't know where he's getting his his extra time, but we're loving it. So we'll do that here shortly. But you got to play me some music before we can do that.
I'm going to play you some music. So we're going to go to Viterbo, which is in the center of Italy for this one. A band called Black Mamba. It's a female-fronted rock trio from Viterbo. And they've got a brand new album, just came out last month, called Heritage. Really, really good stuff. Kind of reminds me of Amy Lee vocally. The band is made up of Irma Mertilla on guitar and vocals, Cecilia Napo on bass, Federico Maragoni on drums. And these guys are fantastic. They've got a really good rock sound. From the album Heritage, the brand new album Heritage, here is Black Mamba and the song Lost in Translation.
The year 2000. But where are the flying cars? I was promised flying cars. I don't see any flying cars. Why? Why? Why?
It had come. The robot bassoonist.
Hello,
The Morning Stream. There's nothing wrong with the food.
All right, we're back, everybody. There is nothing wrong with our food.
No.
We're back, and we're making it work for the rest of the show. Now.
Wow. It sounds like we're, you know, like, we're just having to make do with something.
Yeah, it didn't sound right. I still don't see Bill Duran on here. And I forgot to talk to him. So hold on. If that's okay, we though. He can totally do the Skype thing if we have to. Let's see. Okay. Let's pull him up. Bill Doran. Here he comes. This is him for real.
Oh, good.
Yeah, this is totally him. And I'm very excited about it.
Let the children make it themselves. Can you tell us when you're going to make your move?
Maybe I'll make it with you.
Hey, everybody, make way for Willie.
Make way for Willie, indeed. It's Bill Duran, straight from all things Washington. Bill, hello.
Hello. Hi. You still haven't accepted my AOL Instant Messenger friend request.
Oh, is that the problem? Is that what I've done on Discord? I haven't accepted a friend request? I don't see
Will
where it is.
Will you please accept Bill Duran into your life, Scott? Accept him for who he is.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that. I'll find that after
the show.
All the
things he can make, right. And yet he can't make you love him.
That's right.
You will be my only friend on Discord.
Wow.
Right now I have zero.
Wow. Aww. All right. Well, that's okay. Look, we'll take where we can get it. Bill Duran comes here on Tuesdays, talks about the world of making things. First of all, Happy New Year, dude.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Absolutely.
As someone I frequently talk to who has always been really good at like making goals and lists for the year, mm-hmm. I'm sure that you've done way better than me in 2015 when it comes to fulfilling your goals.
Dude, that list you put out around New Year's Eve of everything you made in 2017 was incredible.
Yeah.
Like,
awesome.
I wish I made did half the stuff you did.
That's kind of what I want to talk about today.
Oh, good. Perfect.
I like that you mentioned the goals, and I'll get to that in a minute. But first, the reason why I do videos like that, you see people post like my top 9 on Instagram, or here's all the stuff I made this year, just a collage of photos of everything they made that year. Yeah. The reason why is, I don't know about if you guys feel this way, but the way I feel a lot of times is every day I'm just waist deep in whatever project I'm working on, dealing with the frustrations involved and the day-to-day minutiae of that. And it's easy to lose sight of like the big picture and what it is that you've accomplished recently. So at the end of the year, I was like, man, I don't really feel like I did that much this year. So I made a video. Mm-hmm. And as I was digging back through old videos, I was like, I did a lot this year. Like, and I needed that. Like, that was for me to reflect on the year and be like, wow, I kind of kicked ass this year. That's awesome. And I didn't feel that way going into this experiment.
Yeah, that's the thing I always run into is I look at it and think, oh, I should compile and look at just even for just for me, not to show anybody else, but just say to myself, what were the things I did that I wanted to do or didn't do or surprises or whatever? And I always feel hesitant to do it because I always think it's going to disappoint me. And when I do it, I'm like, oh, no, actually, I was all right.
It's
pretty good, you know? So
even if what it is you did actually accomplish wasn't necessarily like a goal you had set out to do, that teaches you where your priority. You may have said your priorities were one thing by setting a goal at the beginning of the year, but your actions throughout that year may tell a different story. It may tell you that you actually prioritized something else. And then once you reflect on it, you can say, well, is that something I want to continue going forward? Or was I just way off the mark this year? Because being productive doesn't necessarily mean being successful. Getting a lot of projects finished doesn't always mean that you made any money or that you impressed anyone just because you made a lot of things.
Right.
So that's why every year I try and do my best to, when I set goals, to also look back on the last year.
Yeah. And so give yourself a grade, like mm-hmm. A through F. How'd you do in 2017?
I did. All right. So for quantity, A+, top marks. I made many things.
All right.
For quality of, let's just say the videos that I make.
Yeah.
In the last year, I know that there's a lot more I could do better. I can push myself as a video producer to make videos that I'm more proud of. So I would give myself a B plus maybe for that.
Right.
But holy crap. I mean, I look back on it. I'm like, wow, that guy that made all those videos is kind of insane. I shot, edited, and published over 100 videos last year.
Jeez.
And wow. Some of them were pretty good. So
yeah, that's a lot of video content. People don't realize we're not talking about, you know, you're not putting up vines. These are like, you know, edited, well-produced, shot things. That's no small amount of video. I'm impressed.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, now is goal setting time, right, for the next year. And I think different than most years, last 4 or 5 years I've done this, I've set goals. This year, more than any, those goals changed throughout the year drastically. To the point where at some point I think I just threw them away. I was like, none of this is relevant anymore. Everything changed this year. The big thing was I wanted to buy a house, mostly because my brother bought a house. And I was like, well, obviously I need a house now. Right. But that was a huge goal. I was like, oh, save up, buy a house. But halfway through the year, I was like, I don't want a house. I want a shop. So instead, I really switched gears and started saving and planning for a new shop space.
Yeah.
And that happened like 6 or 7 months ago, which is ancient history at this point. But when I look at the goals I wrote a year ago, I was like, that guy really wanted a house. It's amazing how much that changes.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah.
Yeah. And not just like that, just the things that were important to me a year ago are like meaningless now. Like I don't even know that guy. I don't know if you guys get this feeling, but whenever I reflect back on a year, I'm like, I don't even know that guy.
Yeah, that happens to me, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. At least aspects of, like, I don't know, like what I thought I had as priorities at even certain times in the year, they sometimes shift so dramatically that I'm, you know, 90 degrees some other direction by the time I look back and I'm like, what the hell was I even doing? What was I thinking?
Yeah.
So I get that. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that.
Goals you set at the beginning of the year need to be flexible. You need to be able to look at those goals and maybe quarterly or something and say, okay, this one's just not as important to me right now. And I think I need to take this one off the list and maybe add this one. It shouldn't just be, nope, January 1st is the only day I can add stuff to my goals list. And then I reevaluate on December 31st and that's it. And that's absolutely it. Yeah. Just can't do it like that.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So a quarterly evaluations could probably be more important. Mm-hmm. Check in on those goals more frequently throughout the year to see how you're doing on the goals, but also just see if they're still relevant or still important to you.
Sure.
So I am going to set some new goals. I haven't done it yet, but set some new goals for this year. And I imagine the list will be drastically different than it has been in previous years. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to evolving and changing over time. I predict that 1 year from now, what I do now every day will be drastically different, hopefully in a different space. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'll be making videos that I'm even more, maybe I'll do fewer videos, but better videos. Spend a little more time on each video this year.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, that's great. That's the plan. That's very good. And you've always been good on this show anyway, of reminding us, good idea to plan shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Don't just say, I kind of want to do a thing. This is one of my problems. I'm just like, yeah, I sort of think I might, want to.
Yeah.
And then, you know, enough time will go by. And you're like, oh, shoot, I'm late. I should get on that now. But then I still don't really have a plan. And then November rolls around. You're like, ah, damn it. I guess I'll do it in 2018.
So, yeah. I already sat down and wrote. It's funny because we get lots of people recommending projects for us. Oh, you should make the new gun from the new Blade Runner movie, or you should do this for my favorite video game. I've already written down a list, probably has like a dozen projects that I've already committed to for the next year.
Right.
Like, stupid. Yeah. Why did I commit to all those things?
Sure, sure.
But we have a ton of awesome stuff we're planning on doing. We have a bunch of collaborations with people that we admire and look up to. Some people's whose names rhyme with Shmadam Havage.
Oh, Shmadam Havage.
Oh, yes, of Bithmusters. Yeah. Yes, I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Bithmusters.
So, So, which I'm excited because all of these things give me an opportunity then to push my video production game to try and evolve my storytelling and do something different, do something that I find more impressive with my video game. So look forward to that coming out in the next year.
Yeah.
More tutorials.
Taking it to the new level.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Well, every week we like to end things on a little recommendation. Do you have a little something we can give people?
I do. This guy makes jewelry. Posting a link in the chat there. If you look up Patrick Adair, that's A-D-A-I-R, Designs on YouTube, you'll find his channel. He's got a bunch of really cool videos. The one I found was an acid-etched ring made from a superconductor.
Okay.
So it's a giant copper rod that's got smaller rods of titanium in it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at it's that.
Gorgeous. And
it barely takes a lot to just cut through that thing, but look at the molten goo coming off of that as he's trying to cut through it. Holy cow.
Yeah. Turns out titanium, super hard. But what's cool is it's made from two dissimilar metals. So you got the copper and then you got the titanium. So he machines out a whole ring and then he puts the whole thing in acid, which eats away at the copper, but it does not eat the titanium.
Oh, wow. So that's why it's got that lava rock kind of look to it.
Yeah. And it's the kind of thing you couldn't make that any other way. It's so cool.
Yeah. Look at
that. That's amazing. That is amazing.
How much money do you pay for a titanium anything these days?
He sells those rings for about $700.
That's not too bad, I guess. Mm-hmm.
I saw one. He did one similar, and I don't wear adornments. I have my wedding band that I made myself.
Yeah,
that's about it. And but I saw one of the rings he made. It was like $700. I was like, I have a need. It just looks like it's alien. It looks like it came off of a spaceship.
Yeah, totally does.
Titanium
is so cool. This is the worst circumcision video I've ever seen. First of all.
If you get about 7.5 minutes in and he's just holding up the ring before he does the acid etching, it looks really cool, almost like, because then you start seeing the titanium within the copper.
Oh, look at that, dude.
Before it eats it away. Yeah.
That is so cool. I want one. $700, eh? Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm doing that, but I do wonder sometimes, why do we still think gold is the ultimate monetary value thing? It should be titanium. Titanium is badass.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you can. It's a hard to. You couldn't do anything to titanium, right? You can't break it. Not really.
You can't mill it. It's really bad to put in a CNC mill. The sparks are flammable. It's terrible fire hazard.
Yeah, it really is like alien space metal. I freaking love it.
Oh, I have a titanium ring.
Oh, you do?
My first wedding band was titanium. Yeah. Who knows where that went? I made my own, so I replaced it.
Oh,
there it is.
Is it in there?
You should make it into a another pierce your wiener with it or something.
No.
No.
I spent a lot of time in the shop trying not to shove metal too far to my body.
But think of the views you'll get on that video.
Yeah, it'd be huge.
Unsuccessfully, by the way, I have a damaged part of my thumb here. Let's quick survey. Did I do that with a clean, sharp X-Acto knife?
Mm.
Or did I do that with the dirty blunt end of a screwdriver?
I'm thinking dirty blunt end of a screwdriver would be my guess.
Yeah. That's what happened.
That's how I roll. I understand. I
try not to do that.
I'm going to watch this entire video after the show so I can be jealous of a thing that I probably won't buy because that's too much money. But that's really cool. Well, all right then. Bill Duran, first of the year. It's good to have you back. May the rest of your 2018 be as rad as your 2017 was. And may we soon see a collaboration between you and Smadam
Schmadish.
Yeah, something to that effect. It's Bill Duran, everybody. Chinbeard on Twitter, punishprops.com. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Bye. All right, Brian.
So cool.
We're back to it. And
yes, sir.
No jury today, but to get out of here, I got a TMS mashup thing that was made by our friend Jamie. These are older episodes, 1194 through 1196. So I think he's doing a couple of things. He's going back and doing some old stuff, and he's doing some new stuff as they come out, which is really fun.
Which is great. So like he's basically working on two parallel paths, like old shows and new shows. Love it.
Burning that candle at two ends, and here is the candle on the left end. This is horseshit. I'm leaving.
Too much lemon cake.
Magneto there. They're a couple of gay buddies. Yeah. They're not together, but those two have rolled around forever being gay buddies.
They're a couple of gay buddies.
Always loosen before you lube. Thanks, chat room's not helping. It's like so tiny and small anymore.
Yeah.
Even on men, that might be the most sensitive part of the human body.
Yeah.
Dungeon Master!
No.
Did I ever tell you about the time that I worked with some contraceptives in a time machine?
And same thing happened like twice to Halle Berry nipple movie. Something in the chat called Trump a shit gibbon. What did I miss that? What happened there?
I don't know what that's a response to.
I don't either, but I really like the term shit gibbon.
Shit gibbon.
Yeah, you little shit gibbon. You go home and then you shove them up your butt.
It's just a thing that people have these extinction events in their lives. It could be psychological or it could be physical, Bono said.
A giant person-sized nipple. Just like a great big nipple. And I mean like a big, gnarly, like William Shatner nipple. Not a life-giving baby nipple, but like a nasty old man, pocked-up looking, bumpy, hairy, misshapen nipple.
Wow.
I am almost more urine than man.
Okay.
So ditch gutsch zurtling?
Every German word sounds better when you end it upwards, like your question.
How about I turn to them the minute I hear it, and I whip it out, and I pee all over them? Oh. How about that?
Cat food and plastic forks and shampoo bottles and shot glass. These are a few of my up anus things.
A few of my up anus things. All right, that one was new.
Nice.
That was definitely new. I don't know why I got confused on another one, but
that's
pretty
all
awesome.
Right. That's all right. You know, they're all good. They're all good. They all deserve multiple listenings.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with them. I keep them forever because they're great.
That's right.
Thank you, Jamie, for those. We appreciate it. And that shall do it for today's episode of the show. Huge thanks to everybody for being here. We will be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Should have Tom and Recommendals, all the normal Wednesday business. Mm-hmm. This week is already in full gear here, so strap in and grab your linen. That's the phrase, isn't it? if you'd like to help the show out or be a part of its support crew, you can do that at patreon.com/TMS. We really appreciate those who do help make this year a great year with some cool new unlocks and other rad stuff. We will have more complete and utter final details for the TMS meetup in Vegas in April very soon. Brian and I are going to be meeting about this. We're going to come up with all the final details so you know what you got to do for hotels and junk like that. All that kind of stuff coming up. So watch for that. That's in the coming days, maybe the end of this week, maybe next week, but soon.
Yeah, we'll have very that. Soon so you can start making your plans. Because, flights are going to be cheap soon.
Yeah, cheap soon is what we like.
Cheap soon.
Cheap soon. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website for everything else. Please go check that out. Brian, we got to go, but I need music.
I will give you music. I'll give you something that was requested by Lorenzo, who said, I've listened to Frog Pants since before it was Frog Pants.
Whoa.
TMS has been a source of support, escapism, and inspiration through graduate school, finding a stable job, burying my then-girlfriend, now-wife's father, burying my uncle, purchasing a home, getting married, and now becoming a father.
Wow.
Man, busy time. Yeah. While I specified I wanted this around New Year's, I have no calendar day preference. My daughter was born November 1st, my birthday was November 27th, and my one-year anniversary was December 31st. Thank you, signed Lorenzo. So, wow, you, talking about making lists.
Yeah.
Lorenzo's all over it. Well, happy birthday and anniversary and congratulations on the birth of your daughter. The request was for a cover of the song Come On, Let's Go, originally done by Richie Valens, covered by Girl in a Coma. They included on their 2010 all-cover album called Adventures in Coverland, one of the best album titles for an all-cover album out there. Don't use Under the Covers anymore, people.
Yeah.
It's just been done.
Lame.
Girl in a Coma, here they are right here with Come On, Let's Go.
Let's go, little sweetheart. Now that we can always be together, come on.
well, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, little darling. Tell me that you'll never leave me. Come on, let's go and do it again, again and again and again. Come on, let's go and do it again, again and again and again. Oh, and again and again and again. Come on, let's go and do it again, again, again.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
They haven't delivered the new robot yet.